Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today's episode is an interview with Philip A. Ramos, whose short film, The Kidnapping of a Fish, was actually at the first festival I ever programmed, that was Film Invasion LA in 2016, and that superb 25-minute short film went on to win 14 awards on the festival circuit, and, of all things, it ended up in episode 9 of the Discover Indie Film TV series. So if you haven't seen it already, you can always go to Amazon Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film and watch episode 9. It actually has a little opener of a sci-fi disco music video and then the kidnapping of a fish. Or if you like, you can also watch Kidnapping of a Fish all alone on Amazon Prime Video. Just search for Kidnapping of a Fish. Pretty unique title. On Amazon Prime Video, and you can watch this really entertaining, award-winning short. I'll also say that Philip is one of the nicest people I've ever met, and I'll tell you even more about how nice Philip is after the interview. But now let's just sit back and listen to Philip talk all about his super entertaining, wonderfully shot, wonderfully written short film, The Kidnapping of a Fish.
I kind of blame, like, in quotes, my parents for, like, taking me to the movies. Like, I think when I was, like, 7 or 8 years old, I would, like, we would be going, like, maybe 2 times a week to, like, any movie. And, which is a good or bad thing, because I think I was seeing, like, R-rated movies as well.
I actually hear from a lot of filmmakers whose parents took them to inappropriate films. Or
right, and I don't know that my parents really, like, I don't know that it really mattered that much, but it was just, so I was exposed to, like, a lot of, like, different genres, I think, as a kid, so.
And they were film lovers?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, they're both doctors who came from the Philippines and, picked Buffalo to go to, and
right, they settled in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, so I actually never really asked them about, like, why it is that they just love going to the movies.
There you go.
Because it was just like a thing, and
maybe there's nothing else to do in Buffalo.
I guess maybe that is it, or maybe they just like loved it as when they were like kids. But it was like a thing where. Since they were both doctors, I was, like, kind of expected to be, like, the next doctor. And it would be, like, you know, going through through my whole, like, high school of, like, well, and, like, my we would be going to parties. And my dad would, like, tell everybody, well, oh, he's going to make a great doctor. And I was, like, it kind of, like, became more of a thing when in high school my music teacher, like, said... we're thinking about doing a play to present as a musical. And for some reason, I don't know, I thought that, hey, I could actually write this musical. And I think I don't know how long it took, I don't remember exactly, but I think it was maybe within like a week or so. I didn't tell my music teacher at all that I was planning to do this. I just like said, hey, what if we, I like wrote this stuff out and then I just said, hey, what if we do this?
Right, so the teacher didn't ask you.
No, didn't ask that at all. It just said that, you know, I think it was just asking for like ideas of like what to do. And I don't even know if they were like thinking of like doing anything original. Maybe they were thinking about doing something that was already been done before.
But you were a teenager with that teenage enthusiasm.
Right. And it was also writing songs and dancing as well and choreography and all that. So it was just something that was such a like great experience, like having to go through that, because my music teacher was like sure. I mean, like I thinking back now that if she had actually like shut me down back then, I probably would have just been like, okay, maybe this is not for me or something.
That's true. Kudos to her for just embracing your creativity.
Right. So, and it was, like, involving, like, the entire class of, like, we were all, like, acting in it, and we were all, like, helping out with, again, like, choreography and stuff like that. So we presented it, and then it was such, like, a phenomenal experience, like, in the theater and doing that. So that kind of, like, made me think
more. Did you act in it as well?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, because it was high school.
It was high school, yeah. And I'm not a very good singer. I wish, this is, like, one of my big things that I really wish I could sing. but yeah, it was, like, this whole thing. So I think, so it kind of was not, like, a surprise when I was, like, telling my parents that I really want to go into film. I really want to do this as a
right. So even though it was a stage musical,
right.
You knew you didn't want to do a Broadway kind of thing. That was just cutting your teeth on writing and whatnot.
Right. Right.
But you immediately thought of film.
I think it was like somewhere in the performing arts. Yeah, probably. I guess if I have to think about it, then probably just because we have been going to films a lot, and.
And you hadn't been playing with a video camera or anything?
Well, I think after that experience, I had started like the drama club in our high school, and I had actually written another play, and we had done that, and then I'd also tried to do like some video stuff on my own, but I never actually finished that. So yeah, I think that it was just growing more and more that I really wanted to make films. I really wanted to. I loved how it was that when I went to the movie theater, that whatever it is that I saw, I would be like transported into this whole other world. I would be completely moved, maybe to tears, by whatever it is that I saw. And I wanted to duplicate that feeling for someone else, like, because I thought it was like such a great feeling to have, like coming out of this experience. And I wanted to also somehow give that to, like, make those kinds of films that would present that experience for someone else.
Right. And ignoring that I'm going to ask you four questions at the end of this, was there a film, do you remember a film that particularly moved you when you were that age?
Well, I mean, it was like Back to the Future, which why I still go back to, I had somehow seen that movie, and it just somehow made me, like, excited about movies. And I don't think that anything has ever clicked until that
came out. Well, then I'll ask you about that when we do the four questions. But I can see why that's be so inspiring, because Zemeckis, the filmmaking of it, you know, and the technical details, but with the creative storytelling, that's a magical film.
Yeah. I mean, with Michael J. Fox as well, and it was like, was and still is my hero. So, and it was just a really fun movie, and kind of like the movies that I wanted to make, which was a mixture of comedy and like this strong emotional like pull that it had. So, yeah.
Oh, well, that was your inspiration. So when it came time for college, you were focused on film, or was there still
I was focused
to do the sciences and be a doctor?
That was a thing. So I like went to, I still remember this to this day, of like me going to my parents' bedroom and like saying, I want to go to film, but I want to double major. I want to be a plastic surgeon as well. And I want to do both at the same time. And so we were having this discussion. It seemed actually like a very short discussion, because my dad had basically said, you should do what you want to do, and said that I should, you know, just concentrate on film. Because, I mean, honestly, like, even then, I don't think that I knew that I could become a doctor and do both, but then my heart would not be in it. It would just really, honestly, be for the money, I guess, and for the stability of, like, having it.
And in that moment, he recognized that you were being practical on one side and focused on your actual dreams on the other. And he was supportive of the dreams.
He was. He's been, like, so supportive, like, from the get-go. Because, again, this is, my dad was, like, telling people, like, he's going to be a great doctor. And then, I mean, I'm sure that there's, like, a little part of him that, like, is, like, sad that I did not become one. But yet it was replaced by this enthusiasm, because then we would have these discussions about, you know, I guess it had switched over to, you know, when you become a director and when you, like, make films, that it would be, you'll be doing this or, you know, have or whatnot. So it was a great moment. Again, it wasn't like an argument, which I'm sure a lot of people like have, like, why go into film? There's like no money really into that initially. And again, and my parents are like, just came from the Philippines. They know nothing about film. They are about, I mean, like, in the industry itself. So again,
the immigrant story. Very often immigrant parents aren't exactly eager for their kids to you know, normally that's
to branch
the next,
out. To,
normally
yeah.
that's like the grandkids get to do the arts.
Right, exactly. Because I was like I was born in Buffalo. I was like the first, the first generation of being in America.
And did you have older siblings that were born in the Philippines?
Yeah, I have one older brother who's like 10 years older. He's the one who became the doctor.
Oh, so they had a doctor in their back
they
pocket.
Did, yes. Okay. So it wasn't...
I think that's the dynamic, too, is the older sibling, although 10 years is a lot, but the older sibling has the responsibilities, and the younger sibling, like, you know, does the stuff that the parents always kind of wish they might have done.
Right.
I don't know. I think birth order actually affects us a lot, but that's
I'm sure
totally
it does
unrelated
I'm sure,
topic.
Sure it does.
So that conversation, so that's wonderful that your parents were supportive.
Again, it's like I've had like a really great childhood of like uh of of support, which is nice. Because I mean, I hear stories where it's like, no, like, don't, you need to like think about your future and all that. And I've oftentimes thought about like, well, what if I had decided to become a doctor? Because like film is like not exactly an easy thing to be a part of. There's a lot of like, it's not like the set path of like where a doctor would be a set path where you could just like, you know, open up your own office.
You know what tests to take. You know what school to go to. You know you have to pass your boards after that. Yeah. And then you find a practice or something.
So, and film is like, there is no like set path. And I know that there are like books out there of like, well, I took, this director took this path. And so that was kind of like, I mean, I oftentimes think back of like, well, what if I decided to become a doctor? But I still like absolutely 100% like, I need to do this, and this is what I really wanted to do. So,
So what college did
you? I ended up going to NYU.
Yeah.
Because I've always wanted to move to LA. Actually, this is like one of my favorite places. Like I'm visiting here, and I like the moment I get here. There is something about this place that is just so magical to me. That is just like
we will roll out the red carpet for you.
I don't know. It's just like it just makes me feel so great being here. And so it back to why I'm like mentioning this is because since my parents are in Buffalo, I didn't want to move all the way out to LA or go to college in LA because it was like so far. I'm very close to my family. We also have like my aunts and my uncles had moved out there to Buffalo as well because my parents had moved out there. So there was a very close-knit family. And so New York seemed to be like the best place to like go to.
I mean, between New York and LA.
Yeah.
They're both magical cities. I mean, right. They're both great places.
Yeah. New York, of course, is
and NYU. Wonderful. NYU, yeah. I have to say, not to be biased, but NYU, you know, of getting to know a lot of filmmakers in your generation, people coming out of NYU do really good work.
Yeah. I'm like, I was really impressed with like with NYU as a school. I was just, I'm going to go back that just going, choosing to go to NYU, coming from, because I came from like a small town of like 4,000 people to go to New York. There was a bit of a culture shock there of like,
oh my God.
Of like having to go into the big city. And I just remember like the first few months of being in New York, it was just like, oh my gosh, there's a lot going on here. And it's funny now because now I take it for granted. Like,
well, your dorms are in a high rise. Yeah,
they're like apartments. NYU is,
but
like,
their apartment's like on the 20th floor of a building and stuff, right? I mean, that's just doesn't happen anywhere else,
right? But it's also like NYU is not like a closed like campus; it's like within the city, so it's almost like you are also like the campus is it's New York City.
Yeah, there is no fine line,
right? But it was like it was just such a great experience for me, like. Going like making films like the very first semester we had already been making like videos and short films and was just
and you had the production emphasis or
I think it was like because I did graduate in directing
right,
and so
because I just know NYU has tracks for the film department right? Like there's acting department, yes. There's directing, there's right. I don't know what, cinematography, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Well, they also make you take, like, courses in acting and also in cinematography to get, like, a...
Yeah, actually, I heard someone complain that because of that, other film directing kids are acting in all the films instead of them pulling from the acting department.
Right, right.
Which is kind of funny. It's like, you have all these great actors, all these people who don't really want to be actors, but you already know each other, so you're just acting in each other's.
Right.
Did you act in anyone's films?
Because
you had the high school stage.
What is
background?
I feel like I don't remember that I did. I think I might have. It wasn't that big of a thing, but yeah. Because I think... I had, after that experience in high school, I think I wanted to become an actor. But somehow it actually had shifted to being in film for some reason, so.
Well, in directing in particular?
Yeah, I think so. And then writing just kind of, like, came along just because I thought the stuff that I really wanted to do would be something that I would have to write myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You hear that, like, Night Shyamalan said he wanted to be a director, And he knew the only way to get there was to write something right. that was so good they let him direct it.
Right.
Which has misled a million kids. Thinking that you just have to write one good script and you're done.
You're right,
But yeah, there's definitely a connection between the writing process and the filmmaking directing process.
Yeah, because I think writing is so difficult. I'm sure that everybody would say that. It doesn't come like... I don't think it comes easy to me. I think it's really just more about me having to sit down and make myself just write, and then it will eventually like come out.
And at NYU, do they sit you... Are you told... Go write your script. You're not allowed to pull other material, or
I think they encourage like you writing your own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who's gonna excel at it. You really
right
in a room. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So first semester you start, you're already behind the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exciting.
Right. And then there were some writing classes that I took, and actually one of the. One of the scripts that I'd written for my class ended up being like one of the shorts that I ended up doing because my professor said that what I wrote was like really good, which was kind of like surprising to me, but
that's just humility though.
So I thought, okay, I'll make this as one of the
great adults in your life, your parents support, and then it's
right.
And
you're
then
making me realize that.
And a professor saying this is good enough to make.
Right.
I mean, how often do young people get to hear that?
Well, I know because it was such a weird experience. I'm a little hesitant about saying this because it just makes me look good, I guess, but which is
if you want, I'll do all the flattery, but
no, it's
you
just
are
that,
here because
right.
the kidnapping of a fish is a short that is definitely rises above what people generally see on the festival
circuit.
That's
just amazing. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it had to come from somewhere.
I mean, so I was going to say that my professor, we had just gone into class. We had already turned in whatever scripts that we had to do. And then, he just said to me, he just announced to the entire class that, you graduated. I'm like, what are you talking about? You graduated. That's one of the best scripts that I've
Oh, based on that script.
On the script of the in college.
And what year was that?
I actually don't remember what year
that was. But you hadn't you had a year or two to go.
Yeah. No.
But
he was saying, still
as far as screenwriting goes,
You've
got it. You've got a knack for it.
Right.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I know. So it's I didn't think that I would be. I mean, I still don't necessarily think that I'm that I excel at writing, but I knew that I wanted to direct, and then so this kind of just encouraged me to okay, I can write, I guess. So
So then you finish up at NYU.
Yeah,
it was the whole thing was a good process.
Yeah, it was a good process. I had a short film that came out of that I didn't actually, I kind of wish that I knew back then of how to get it out there, because I think that
The festival circuit.
The festival circuit and all that. Because I somehow had gotten involved in being an office, a set PA and an office PA, and it just kind of led to me being a production coordinator, which I still do. But it's the non-creative part of the industry.
Was that you being practical after graduation? Was seeking work
I don't think it was necessarily practical. I think it was more I didn't know how to get into directing necessarily. I didn't know how to
Nobody knows how.
Yeah, I know.
The way you did it is the way that works, which is
right.
you started working in the industry.
Yeah.
You ended up at UPM, right?
A production coordinator.
Production coordinator.
Yeah, right.
And so you kept working and you were around it and you could keep working on your art on the side?
Right. Well, because I had almost given up on ever doing this. I had gotten this job to, this was this NBC show called Mysteries of Laura with Deborah Messing. I had got offered to do this pilot. And I was hiring, I have to hire the rest of my staff in the office. And I had met two people, And well, the way that it works is that I have to like find somebody by, like I get hired like on Monday. I have to find like the rest of my staff by like maybe Friday.
Right. You have a week to staff
up. I have like a week to staff up. And if you have somebody, then great. But if you don't and you're you like,
everybody's right, they're kind of counting on you to bring your team in.
Right. Exactly. So I interviewed like these two guys. Nobody like wowed me. And it's kind of funny because one of the questions that I like ask, in the interview is like, I ask, what's your favorite movie? I also ask, I think at the time when I was like interviewing people, I was also asking about, like the Oscars. What do they think? What do they think about the Oscars? One of the persons that I interviewed said that, that they didn't really care about the Oscars. And that kind of like, I know, that kind of like hurt me a little bit.
You're an Oscar guy.
I am a bit of an Oscar guy, which is...
You'll always have a party with a pool for the winners.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking, though, when it's like a movie that you like really, really love and it doesn't do well. But yeah, I still love like every
movie. Sometimes your favorite film, you're not picking to win.
Yeah, right. So I had these two guys. One of them said that, and the other one wasn't... something about it wasn't clicking at all with me, and I was like delaying this whole thing, and I'm like, well, I need to make a decision. I should just choose one. And I still didn't choose one. And then I get this email from my friend now, John Hay, who produced Kidnapping. He said, you know, are you still looking for somebody? And I said, yeah. And then I had an interview like the following day, and then something about all of that I was like waiting for just clicked. And almost like if I had decided to go with somebody else, then I wouldn't have met John. And John is the reason I'm here today, because he we had just been working for like a month or so. He had written this web series that he wanted to write and direct, and he asked if I would produce it. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like, sure, I would love to do it. And it was just like something I'd not been doing for a while. So we're like really into it. We had gone through like casting. We had one of his best friends is a cinematographer. So I was also working with him, and so that entire summer we were like doing this web series, and it just kind of like reminded me, like, yeah, this is why I went to film
school. Like a shoestring kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. Like
you didn't have to sit and raise funds for
it. No. I think they had actually done like an Indiegogo campaign, and so there wasn't like so much raising funds. It was just
probably not too hard to find actors in New York.
Yeah, it was. We had like backstage. That we just like looking for actors, and I just love like going through the whole casting process as well of like that. So that same summer that happened, my father got sick, and he had actually passed away. So like all of like one of the last things that I told my dad was that, you know, I'm producing this web series, and it was just something that I just still remember that he was just very, very excited about. That I was doing it again, like a very supportive dad, and so I thought I was like really bummed out that of course that that he was never gonna see anything that I was gonna do, that I wasn't like necessarily on the path of like writing, directing, of like when I felt like I was just not moving fast.
Right, enough. You had delayed your dreams for
right,
just a few years, right?
Yeah. So, it wasn't like, so I felt like I needed to somehow set the path correctly. And so I had gone to John and to Pat, who's a great, great cinematographer. And I said, hey, what if I wrote and directed this short, which ended up being Kidnapping a Fish. And they were like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And again, and it's
have
like
you already written it?
No, that was okay. that was yeah, a funny thing, because like, I was like, I mean, I had this idea about a short, and I'm like, I had not written anything by the time that they.
But you had an idea about a kidnapping.
I had an idea about like the. I don't want to give it away what the sure. story is, but the central story of like what happens if this guy was involved in this situation.
Right.
So And that was just the kernel of the idea. I actually don't know if they know that I hadn't written anything. So,
but it almost had the film school vibe of,
yeah.
All right, we're going to make a film. Let's write it.
It's true. You're actually right, because I think that is what is in film school, is that you don't have that long of a time. You don't have like months at a time to write a script. You're just like, you just do it. So, I guess I was just re-inspired again to like write. I wrote it in like in 2 weeks. It was like a longer version of the short. It was like 40 pages long. And because I didn't want to lose this opportunity, because if they're like saying yes, then I need to like act on it and like do it. So I presented this this script, and then we had a discussion in the basement of like, well, it's pretty long, they're like saying, for a short, because we should just do something that is just like gonna do for like a weekend or something like that. So I was actually kind of bummed about it, because I really loved the script at the time.
That featurette of sorts.
Yeah, I guess so. But again, I was like very thankful that they had said that, because it sort of forced me to come up with the structure that it is now of like of flashbacks in the,
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say 40 pages must have covered a lot of locations and a lot of different sort of scenes. But actually, kidnapping really is a lot of... It is
right.
A lot of locations.
Yeah.
Although there is the hub, the main
right.
setting.
Right.
But yeah, with the flashbacks and other things, it covers right. a lot of ground. That's probably one of the strengths of it.
Right.
Is it doesn't feel like a couple of friends in a room.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So that took me a little bit longer to like, it took me a few months to like, figure out how to redo it. And then, but again, like, I think one of the key things was, that scene, the scene where he's like out in the streets talking to his, again, I don't want to give it away.
We were going to hold this till you release.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can,
yes.
you can spoil.
Right. Right.
And every podcast starts with me saying, you better watch the film first. There will be spoilers.
Right. Right.
Plus, obviously it'd be great to hear your story, right? You know, this is theoretically the extended Q&A.
Right.
You know, they're supposed to watch your film online.
Yes.
And then hear how it got made.
Right. That key scene of like, it like gave away the title of the movie. And again, I had actually written this script and
the scene where he mentions fish.
Yeah.
A fish.
Yeah. So
feeling like a fish.
Right. So I had written this, the shortened version of the script. The original title of my longer script, I think it was called About a Girl or something, or I Know a Girl, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It didn't really fit with the thing. So I was like having trouble with this title. And then all of a sudden I just said, what about this title? And my friend John, like, he was like hesitating about this title for the longest time, but then we couldn't figure out like a better title for it. So,
that's funny. It's a fantastic title.
I thank you. I was like
so
confident
memorable.
when I had walked in and like, and I told John about it, I was like, I think this is the title. And it was just, he'll be mad at me for like saying this, but I think that he was just, he was just not as enthusiastic as I had like hoped. Like, okay, yeah, this is it.
I can understand why before it all happened,
right.
it might have given someone pause.
Right.
But it conveys the whimsy. It conveys a kidnapping.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, what is this? Is this going to be a comedy about someone stealing a goldfish bowl? Whatever.
Right. Exactly.
There could be a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
Of kidnapping a fish, but the thing is, it opens all those possibilities just with the title.
Right. It's so difficult coming up with the title, because I definitely didn't want it to be... I wanted people to know that it was like... there was some comedy in it. That there was like a lightheartedness to it. Because it's funny, because I'm not a big fan of like... of torture porn at all. Or
sure.
like any kind of like...
You're not a blood splatter?
I'm not into the gore. I love the suspense. I love like movies like Scream. I just saw Halloween like a week ago, and I love like the scares. I don't like the gore of like Saw or like Hostel, where it's just gratuitous. So it's kind of funny that I would make a movie about that involved like a little bit of torture and a little bit of like kidnapping. So so I wanted it to be the title to be something that meant a lot more. So and to come up with that title is like,
you know, I've never done it. One day I probably will never do it, but I would love to take all the films I need to watch for a festival, like after all the submissions are in, and rate all the titles, and then watch them and look at my, and then like go back and compare. Okay, because I actually think that the titles are huge.
Yeah,
I think that if the creators of the work of art, because this is a art form that gets titled, it's, you know, like a painting, you don't really care what the title is necessarily, but if there is not artistry in the title, how often is there artistry in the actual piece?
Right,
it's just a theory.
Right,
that's the kind of thing you come up with when you watch hundreds and hundreds of films every year.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, the whole process of, like, making Kidnapping was just, again, just such a super experience of, like, we shot, I ended up, like, hiring a casting director, which was, like, one of the best things I did for the film. I had a friend of, like, asking me, well, are you going to hire a casting director? I'm like, and I didn't even think about it because I was just thinking, okay, I'm just going to do, go and do backstage and all that. But it was, like, we ended up like hiring Adrienne Stern, who like is phenomenal, she ended up like finding my two main actors, and there's so many elements that have to like work in your favor, and like the acting, I was like
every element,
every element of this to be successful, and I've just been happy of like the whole experience that it did, because there's a lot of things in the script that. There's like bordering on this comedy, where the comedy almost doesn't fit because the drama is there. I feel like in my mind in this movie that there's this dramatic line, but there's like comedy elements that are playing in between the whole thing. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, I almost wonder if the word is comedy or if it's that there's a like a light spirit.
Right.
You know, it's not like there's jokes about his torture. It's more like, you know, it's also a love story.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And that love story brings in a humanity to it. You know, whereas not too many love stories in the other films you name, like Saw and Hostel, where people are being tortured. And they're not being tortured, you know, for life. Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering now what Saw would be if there was a romantic story.
I'm sure there's a love story.
but anyways, what I was like saying is that I feel like for my script, like if there were comedic moments in there, there were certain lines that I wasn't sure it was going to work. And if the, that's why I adore like Stephen and Stephen Friedrich and Theodora Moran, who were the two main actors, and also the other actors in the movie.
Yeah, your two leads are wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
And they feel like movie stars.
I mean, yeah.
Have I seen her in a lot of other things?
She's done a lot of like features that are independent features. Stephen was just on Lethal Weapon TV show as a guest star.
They're both so good. Oh, when you watch it, you say they're the kind of people who are like, where have I seen them? Because it feels, you know, she feels like
they definitely have like that star quality of like
they really do.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you know with whatever right material and all that they will like be big stars soon, hopefully. So
were you tempted to write for them again?
Well, that's what I'm planning to do is like I'm doing a feature next where it's using them as the main stars of it again. So
well, so you the making of Fish is a great experience, although you normally call it Kidnapping, I think. But the making of Kidnapping
I like switch it around, actually. Yeah. So it's kinda,
I know, see, that's how good the title is, that you can pull two shorthands.
Right, I could like do it. It's either but, Kidnapping or
Fish. But, you know, you're making
Fish,
with good actors, great crew, people you enjoy working with.
Right.
So, I think that shows too that everything came out well. Mm-hmm. And then were you working again in production coordination while you were in post?
I had actually taken because I had just finished Mistress of Laura before we had done that short, and I had basically taken I think a year. There was a small project. I had done this Vince Vaughn movie for a month or so, but I had basically taken a year off to because there was I had done the editing for the movie. There was music. I ended up hiring a composer, which completely changed a lot of the things. And going through that process is another, I'm sure, another podcast of just having to rethink scenes and what music that you want.
Did you change the edit when you were working on music?
I don't. I kind of wish, because I had already locked in my picture where I don't know if I had. I think I had thought at the time, if I had had the music before, I might have, done it to that. I don't know if that would have been better or not, but, it was just,
And you had the musical theater background of your youth, so I'm sure yeah. Music was very important to you.
Yeah. Well, because I think, originally, I had thought that I don't want to do music at all, and, it's kind of interesting.
For that bare-boned independent feel?
I don't know. I just didn't see necessarily where music would fit in to it. And it's just, it's so difficult, finding a music composer, because you, if I had chosen, somebody else, that it would just be, it'd just be interesting, because they would come up with something completely different, and it would completely change the entire.
It's like hiring a painter; you have no idea what you're gonna get because it's such a creative medium.
Right.
Yeah.
I should mention that the music was done by Danielle Merlis, and she had done this, where this key moment of where he was saying that that he was kidnapped for. He was telling the kidnapper about how it is that he was been kidnapped and he was brought here and all that. So she had done this little piece, and I absolutely loved it. So I ended up just going with her. But but I say that there's a whole podcast of it, because it is a whole process. I think we had done it for 2 months of me going back and forth of thinking about what exactly it is that I want, and how much it changes. From obviously not having any music to having
music. Yeah, it probably makes it feel much more cinematic.
Yeah. So then what else had happened?
So when the music was done, were you locked? Were you ready to take it out?
Yeah, I think so. Because I had actually gone through this whole thing where I had finished the movie, and it was around 25 to 30 minutes. I had shown it to people. And one of my very good friends, saw it and said that, you're never gonna nobody's ever gonna program a 25-minute movie. He has friends who are who have it in their hard drive, have these really long movies, and, it would just be a shame, really. I think when I heard that, I was
right, so when you had the 40-page script, you went from 40 to 25.
Right, I didn't realize that shorts now are
15 or less,
even 12 or 7. So me coming out with a 25-minute short, I'm okay, yeah. I was Googling all these the programmers who were saying that yeah we wouldn't take them and all that. I understood the whole thing, but it was just problematic to me, because I wanted this film to be seen, but yet I also, I wanted it to be programmed as well. I didn't make a movie for it to not go anywhere. So, I ended up hiring a film consultant, and, I had painstakingly cut down this movie to 14 minutes. I showed him both of them, and, he said to go with the longer version, because it shows.
So how long was the other one? Did you get it down to
14? I got it to 14 minutes, and it was just so difficult to do. Every cut that I did was just so painful.
It was just choppy.
I ended up having to move around the timeline in an effort to keep certain things.
So this person, a professional.
Yeah, he's film consultant. He's directed. Yeah.
He sat down and watched both, and he told you go with the long one.
Yeah. He also said that the shorter one, even though he's seen the longer one a bunch of times, it doesn't make any sense to him.
So if you'd done a better job at the short one,
right, maybe. Because I was like prepared to, okay, if he says that this is what I should go to, that I should just do the shorter one, then I'll just do that because he's the professional. I've like shown it to other people, so I knew that the time wasn't like a factor for them. I was like very, very happy that he had said to go with the longer one because I think I had, if he hadn't said that I would probably be having two versions now, and I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now because I think that I not only would I not have been happy with the result of like even if I had gotten in with that shorter version, but I don't know that it wasn't the better film of it. So
well, you know, at 25, and it's a fast paced film. It doesn't feel like 25.
Right, exactly.
You know, I think that's kind of important.
Right.
Although, I mean, I know that the festivals I work in are a little bit of an aberration because we will embrace 20 minutes plus, even though, oh, man, sometimes it kills me.
Well, I thank you then. You
know, no, I mean, in your case, it didn't.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, oh, if this person would only, like, you know.
Right.
You can be 25 minutes if you never lose the audience's attention.
Right.
That you can't make a short film where you actually lose people's attention because it's a short film. It's supposed to be, you know, constant impact. And you have constant impact.
Right.
And yours feels like a featurette. Yours feels like the calling card to make a feature.
Well, that's what my consultant had said, that it's like it's really ultimately like a calling card for you as a director that shows like you have great production value, that you can like direct actors and all that. And you might not get into many festivals at all, but then it still is the better thing to like show.
But you did, right? You ended up
at a ton
of
festivals.
I did. It was
like, I know, it's like been over 30 film festivals, which is shocking to me. I'm like, I would never have guessed at all that it would have had the success that it did.
Has anyone ever talked about the length?
I don't think anybody has, really. I'm the one who brings it up.
In fact, it's been a while since I've gotten to see it. And if you'd asked me how long it is, I wouldn't have remembered it at 25.
Right. I think that most people don't think of it as being that long.
Because it's fast-paced, and the story justifies it.
Right. Because it has like a beginning, middle, and end, which I think that most shorts don't do, and I don't think you can do it really in like.
Yeah,
7 minutes.
A vignette. It's It's not a slice of life.
Right.
It's a narrative.
Right, and also it is, in my mind, because I think that most festival programmers would pick something with that has like a. Has a social message to it. Mine is like arguably just a very commercial, like fun movie. That's why I'm also like surprised at the reception, happily surprised at the reception of it, that it did as well as it has. And it has.
Yeah. I mean, from following you on Facebook, you've been around the world with this.
Yes.
Film.
Yes. It's been I can't imagine not having done this, and it's just been, it has completely changed my life doing this movie. And
The festival run?
I think so. Like, just the whole thing of, like, I was saying that it was just such an easy experience. Like, it just had reminded me again of, like, why I wanted to be a director. And getting to work with great actors and having to choose in the editing room of, like, how... I'd never worked with Premiere before, and... just having to edit the film as well. It's just it the creative like energy, the creative like that just came out of it just made me so excited about like doing more. Like I know now that I need to do this.
I was gonna say listening to you just now, I thought, you know, this film did make you a director. Like you went to most of the film festivals, I think.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And you were, you know, you went from being a person who wanted to be a director. This made you a director.
Right.
Absolutely valid comment.
And it just made me, like, see other people, like, film festivals are, like, there are other people who are also excited about making films. And it just also made me excited as well. Like, wow, there are other people who are like me who it's just also very inspiring to be around that environment and just seeing your film like on the big screen. It's just is amazing.
Yeah. And then getting to sit and do a Q&A.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. Right. And just like the audience response of like from people, it's people get different things from it. They're moved by it. They're excited about it. And it's just it's kind of scary to me because it's like I don't know that I could duplicate it again because it's like I don't know what exactly that was done with this. So it's
well, that's where just you have great. To trust your talents. You will do it again.
Yes, I hope so. But I'm just very, very happy with like the people's like responses and to the film.
So it's a positive experience from start to finish, which is great. Yes. So you said your next plan is involves a feature.
It's a feature film. It's a different story. It's a similar story. It's the same kind of main character. He is engaged to this girl, but he's never met his future mother-in-law. And when he does finally meet her, it's a disastrous meeting, and he completely embarrasses himself, doesn't know what to do, and he feels like he somehow needs to repair this relationship, or they're never going to live happily ever after. So he overhears a conversation that his mother-in-law has, where she needs help with computers. He happens to be amazing in handling computers, so he decides to go to her place of work. She doesn't know, and solve the problem, and everything will be great. But what he doesn't realize is that his future mother-in-law is an international spy, and he has now involved himself into this whole other world that he can now not get out of, and he is now forced to save the world. And
I was going to say, the beginning of your description, it sounded very... very not Philip.
And then it's interesting, not Philip.
You know what? It's not right. Like I've seen all your films that you did as a younger person.
Right.
You know, it would be great to see your student film someday.
Yes,
but,
actually, that would
be
good.
But then you get into the international intrigue and a bigger, more cinematic story.
Right. So, kidnapping came out of, because I had written, this feature called Mr. Trevor, and that was the story that seemed to be the one that I was most excited about. And it's not exactly the best movie to make independently because it's a spy action comedy, but it was like the movie that again I was just so excited about making. So kidnapping came out of like, well, I want to make something that is related to this script because I want it to be like a proof of concept of this feature. And I didn't want to do the exact same story. I mean, I think there's probably some debate about whether you should do the same short and then make that as a feature or do something, a short that's different.
I'm sure many people have said to you, are you just going to take Kidnapping of a Fish and expand it?
Right.
And expand that world.
It's interesting because I don't know that I've like thought about that. I thought about it when people have been asking me about it, you know, making it into a TV show or like continuing on with the story. It hasn't been something. It's something that I've been thinking about more, but it hasn't. It isn't. I don't have like
for you. It is what it is.
Yeah, to me, it was just like that was like the end of it. Not that I'm opposed to it. It was just like. I had not thought about like past the last frame of that movie. So, so Kidnapping was the intention to be, to help out with making my future. So,
and you're here in LA going to AFM.
I am. Yes.
This weekend.
Yes.
And is that with your feature in your back pocket? Yeah. You're going to walk around and...
It is, yeah. I'm still in the beginning processes of, like, I still have to do, like, put together a business plan and all that. But I have a lookbook who John's wife, Melanie, like, did a fantastic job of that that I can, like, show around. And So yeah, so hopefully it'll just be, you know, showing the short.
And you've got a 5x7 postcard of kidnapping of a fish with like 30 laurels on it. You would probably have to do an 8.5x11 just to get all the laurels. Oh my god, you're too
kind. Yeah, I have like postcards of that. So yeah, so hopefully, fingers crossed, the next time that I see you, that it's like in the process of like.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful news.
Yeah,
everyone, I want you to be rich and famous for you. Uh-huh. And hey, it wouldn't hurt me being one of the 30 programmers who saw your first film and thought it was superb. And
yeah, you know. I mean, thank you again. I should mention, like, Sherman Oaks was just really great, and I'm so happy that I made it out.
I appreciate it's kind of has a local vibe,
right?
And you know, when people come from New York for the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, you know, instead of like, you know, the LA Film Festival or you know, AFI Fest. And right. Well, you know, I know what we are. we're not, I doubt anyone goes, oh, Sherman Oaks Film Festival, I'm going to meet me some movie stars and producers, you know, I mean, be nice.
Yeah.
I hear Bryan Cranston lives up the street, but you know.
Oh, does he?
I don't know how we're going to get him down.
Sure, you'll find a way.
You got to stalk him and you know. Accidentally bump into him at Starbucks 3 times with a Sherman Oaks Film Festival t-shirt
right,
on.
Right, right, right.
Don't put it past me.
I'm sure that you could do it.
And that was Philip A. Ramos talking about his award-winning short film, The Kidnapping of a Fish, which you might remember from my intro is in episode 9 of season 1 of the Discover Indie Film TV series. Just go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film. Heck, watch all 10 episodes, but if you want to be entertained by Philip's wonderful film, go to episode 9. And let me add in one little secret. You know, I know no one ever listens to these outros, so I can say whatever I want. Philip is the all-time winner for coolest guest because after we recorded this, we actually went and grabbed lunch, and he insisted on treating, and you know what? I'm just like a puppy. If you fill my food bowl, I'm loyal to you forever. It's true. But what I really want is for him to come out to LA again, or me make it out to New York, and then it'll be my turn to buy him lunch. So a big thank you to Philip for coming in during his visit to LA and record that interview. And now let me do the house cleaning. DiscoveryIndieFilm.com is where you can find podcasts, embedded shorts, links to features, all kinds of wonderful things that relate to this podcast and the film festivals that I program. But before I mention the film festivals, some people really dig social media, and @DIFWINS is the handle for Discover Indie Film on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, which showed, I think, the LA premiere of Kidnapping of a Fish, is every November. In fact, in 2019, it's November 21st to 24th. You should come out and support indie film. And if you're a filmmaker, you should submit. And Film Invasion Los Angeles is every June. And we tend to have a wonderful time at that festival, too. Thank you for listening.